Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at Lost Forest Church. I am Chris. I'm the pastor here at Lost Forest Church. And today we're continuing in our sermon series entitled A Pure Heart. Basically, we have decided that when you talk about the heart, you're actually talking about the center, the very being of who you are. And so this idea of having a pure heart is really living the best life, living real life. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." These words are really a prayer. Create in me this pure heart. In other words, help me to live life to my very best. I love this idea of living real life. And really, if we're desiring a pure heart, we're desiring to live real life, the way life was designed to be lived. There's this song that was, it's kind of an old song, but I love the song. I love the words of it. I want to read it to you. It's by Four All Seasons, and it's called Something New. I just want to read you a few of the lyrics. It says, "I want to live real life. I want to leave the world of emptiness behind. I want to live real life. I want to flee from all the darkness I've desired. Whatever it takes, God, show me your ways." Whatever it takes. This idea that I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do, God, so that I can live real life, so that I can have a pure heart. I once had a guy come and visit me in my office. He was very distraught about his life. Basically, he was very depressed, and he didn't think that where he was in life was where he wanted to be. He wanted something different. But as we talked about this and talked about maybe some of the things he could do, basically, he came to this conclusion that he wasn't willing to change. He knew what he wanted, but he wasn't willing to do what it would take to have a different life. And that just that struck me in that moment that, man, you want something different, but man, that's a lot of work. It actually reminds me of an event in Jesus's life when he's walking down the road and this young man runs up to him and he says, "Jesus, Jesus, tell me this. What will it take for me to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looks the man in the eyes and he says, "Have you followed the Ten Commandments?" And the young man says, "Yes, I have. Since I was young, I've followed the Ten Commandments." And Jesus says, "Okay, well, there's one more thing." And I can just imagine Jesus looking intently at this young man and saying, "One more thing, you need to sell everything you have. Give it away to the poor and then come follow me." And it says the young man went away sad because he had great wealth. This young man wanted something. He wanted a different life. He wanted real life. And Jesus said, "I can see right into the core of your being. I can see into your heart. And what you need to do is you need to get rid of all this wealth because it's keeping you from living real life." And the man was not willing to do it. He wasn't willing to give up the things he had in order to have a pure heart or to live a real life. Charles Schwab, the great investor, once said, "When a man has put a limit on what he will do, he has put a limit on what he can do." And the question for us today is, are we willing to do what it takes to have a pure heart, to live a real life with Jesus? I want to look at the example of the Apostle Paul. One of my favorite chapters, one of the ones I've preached out of more than any, is Philippians chapter 3. And in this chapter, Paul talks about all these things he once had that he gave up so that he could follow Christ. And he says this in verse 8 of chapter 3. "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And then he says a couple verses later, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead." That I would just summarize and say, Paul wants a pure heart. He wants to live life differently in this radical way. And so what's he going to do to achieve this? Well, we go on to verses 12 through 14, and it says, Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I believe Paul wants real life. I believe he wants a pure heart. As you read through that, he's willing to do whatever it takes to have this pure heart, to live the life he was designed to live. And I believe that for us, there's three things that we can do to help us to have a pure heart and to live real life. Number one, we need to stay connected to God. Number two, we need to stay encouraged. And number three, we need to keep moving forward. This idea of staying connected to God really depends on us. Because we've been given this gift as followers of Jesus. The gift given to us is the Holy Spirit. And so it says the Spirit lives inside of us. And so we should be able, we should stay connected to God. Because we have his Spirit to help us with that. Even in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4 says this, and if you search for him, talking about God, with all your heart and soul, you will find him. And so, even in the Old Testament, even now with the Spirit that we have this connection with, it's up to us if we want to be connected. If you think about teenager Chris, way back when, some 30 plus years ago, I'm a teenager. And one of the things I like to say when I was a teenager, when a teacher or a coach or my parents would say, hey, Chris, you need to do this. I'd say, I know. Or hey, Chris, you have a test tomorrow. You should study for it. I know. It was without a doubt my dad's biggest pet peeve when I'd say, I know. You've probably heard people say it. In other words, it's like, I know. What do you think? I'm stupid. I know what I need to do. Well, my dad would say, if you know, then do it. And that's the way it is. If you want to be connected to God, because this is not rocket science. These three things are all of us. Oh, yeah, we know that. I know. Well, then we need to do it. If we want to be connected with God, if we want to have a pure heart, then we need to do what it takes to do that. And so if you want to be connected to God, here's just some things that I believe we need to be doing. We need to schedule time to be connected with God. Because otherwise, we get so busy in our days. Today, more than ever, we have more distractions in life than any other time. And so if we want to be connected with God, we have to take the time to be with him, to be alone with him. We need to prepare for it. Being connected with God is not going, hey, I just need to squeeze a little bit of time in here. Hey, real quick, I'm gonna read something real quick and try to get connected. That's not how you do it. And I don't believe that's what God wants. I believe to have this intimate connection, we need to stop everything else we're doing. We need to stop it. We need to get away from the distractions. Even turn your phone off. Do something radical. And get away from everything else. And clear your head. One of the things I like to do is just stop and actually just slow down my breathing. You would be surprised. Just focusing on slowing down your breath will clear your head. And will allow you to get to a place where you can focus on God. And when you're in that place, really, it's up to you. Prayer is a good way to connect with God. Reading things that connect us to God, reading the Bible, reading some short devotionals, whatever it is. But my wife, she does it by reading something from the Old Testament, something from the New Testament each time that she has her quiet time with God. Everyone's a little bit different here. You can listen to something. You can read. You can pray. But do one of those things. Do something that sharpens you in that time as you connect with God. And most importantly, focus on Him. When I was in college, for whatever reason, I started imagining that God, when I was praying, when I was alone with Him, that I could just see Him sitting in front of me with His arms stretched out, like welcoming me in, like wanting me to embrace Him. And that was such an amazing picture to me. And I still do it today. This connection with God, you can just imagine His presence with you, because it's there. It's real. And really all you have to do is desire it. You know, when we are truly connected with God, I think it makes us different. There's this place in Acts where the church is just exploding in number. And Peter and John are kind of at the center of it. And they go and they have to speak in front of this big religious body of people. And they don't like Peter and John. And when Peter and John get done talking, this is what's said about them. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. These guys were unschooled. They were ordinary. There's nothing special about them. But here they were. They were courageous. They were living real life. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus, connecting with Jesus, we will be different. And if you want to live real life, if you want a pure heart, connect to Jesus. And the second thing is stay encouraged. It sounds so obvious, right? Stay encouraged. I once heard a pastor talking at a conference. He was this big mega pastor. And he started in on this story about what is the most important thing you can do as a pastor. And at the end of it, basically what he said is the number one thing you can do as a pastor, what's the most important thing you can do? Stay encouraged. And I was like, that's so simple. Come on. But as he went on, I began to realize that's so, so important. And one of the things he said is, if I'm not encouraged, I can't encourage my family. If I'm not encouraged, I can't encourage other people. And so I must stay encouraged. And I thought, there's so much truth there. This is a biblical truth. You go to Joshua 1:9, so many people's favorite verse, right? And this is what God says to Joshua. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do not be discouraged. What's the opposite? Be encouraged. In the first week of this series, I read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is being chosen king. All his older, bigger, stronger brothers were rejected, and God chose David. And this is what God said to Samuel. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. And so here is David, this man. If we want a pure heart, man, look at David. He was this example. And you go to the very next chapter and you find the most famous story of all time, David versus Goliath, right? So we get a picture of David's heart. He shows up at battle. No one will fight Goliath. An entire army is discouraged because no one's going to fight this giant. Here comes this boy, David, too young to be a soldier, says, I'll fight him. And I love when he ends up in front of Saul, who's the king at the time. Saul's like, you can't fight him. Come on, you're just going to die. And this is what David says. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. I'm just going to say, David is encouraged. David's got some, man, he's got something about him. There's something different about him. Here is this boy who's highly encouraged, and you've got an entire army of discouraged soldiers. You know the story. David goes out and he defeats Goliath, and his courage, his heart, becomes contagious. Because as soon as the giant dies, the Philistine army, they run, and the entire Israelite army, they, with a big, loud yell, they let out. All of a sudden, the courage of David has spread throughout the entire Israelite army. That's why he was a great leader. This man was living life. He was not afraid to do whatever it took to live life to its fullest, and he was encouraged. So how do we stay encouraged? Well, you got to stay connected to God. That's the first thing. Number one, stay connected to God. Number two, read encouraging things. Spend time with encouraging people. Let your own self-talk be encouraging. Be happy with you. Be encouraged by who you are, who God made you to be. Be like David. And then keep moving forward. You remember earlier I read to you Joshua 1:9, God saying, man, be encouraged. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. This is a point in the history of the Israelites where they're getting ready to go into the promised land. That's what God was giving them. What an exciting time. And Joshua is the leader of these people. And what they're going to do is they're going to move forward over the border. They're going to go in and they're going to start fighting battle after battle. And they're going to work their way forward until they take over the promised land. And to me, I'm thinking, man, the promised land is having a pure heart. It is living real life, right? And if we're going to take that, if we're going to have that, we have to move forward. Now, if we look back at the story of the Israelites, 40 years before this moment with Joshua, where they're getting ready to go into the promised land, they were on the edge of the promised land, and they were ready to go in. And Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 of the spies come back and go, oh man, we can't go in there. There's big armies. There's big people. We can't do this. We're not strong enough. Joshua and his friend Caleb, two of the 10 spies, they said, whoa, time out, people. We can do this. Remember, God brought us this far. He got us out of slavery. He can give us this promised land. But the people were already discouraged. And so no matter how much encouraging Joshua and Caleb did, it didn't matter. God got frustrated with people and said, fine, you just sit right here. They didn't move for 40 years. An entire generation died out. The only two people from that generation that got to go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The two that said, yes, we can do it. We just have to move forward. They were willing to move forward, but the Israelite people said, no, let's stay in the desert. I know we don't like it, but let's just stay here. Have you ever done that in your life, what the Israelites did? You know where you want to go, but you're like that guy that came to my office and said, I don't like where I'm at, but I'm not willing to move. I'm too afraid to move. The thing is, if you want to live real life, if you want to have a pure heart, you have to always be moving forward. You have to always be growing. You have to always be stretching yourself. You remember Paul, he wanted to know Christ. That was his desire. That was his goal, to have this pure heart and to live life to its best. And how did he do that? Not by standing still. Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. If you want to have a pure heart, if you want to live real life, it's not behind you. It's right here. It's right in front of you, and you have to keep moving forward. I remember the very first times I heard the words of the song, Something New. I read you the words at the very beginning. But it was at a high school Christian camp. And I was a youth pastor. And things were really, really hectic and really busy. And the first time I heard that song, things were just chaotic and crazy. And then all of a sudden, just like that, this band came out on stage and just grabbed our attention. And all of a sudden, all the craziness of teenagers just calmed down. And we went from chaos to worship. And the words that evening hit me so hard. I just want to read them to you again. It says, I want to live real life. I want to leave the world of emptiness behind. I want to live real life. I want to flee from all the darkness I've desired. Whatever it takes, God, show me your ways. I'm willing to waste what this world has to offer. I want to live life, real life. I want to walk beneath the everlasting light. I want to live real life. I want to breathe the fullness of my true design. I want a pure heart. I want you to have a pure heart. I want you to live life the way you're designed to live life. My prayer for you is that you will stay connected, you'll stay encouraged, and you will keep moving forward. Have a great week.